This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
The thing that is so inviting about Jesus is I can stand here tonight and tell people, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you've done, no matter how deep of a pit you're in, God will take you just the way you are. He loves you just the way you are. I'm going to teach tonight on how to love people that are hard to love. Yeah. Well, we just hit a home run, didn't we? Pastor Mike asked me, he said, "And what provoked that message in your heart? Did you have like a personal experience?" I said, "Well, I like to let other people benefit from what I go through." So most of our problems in life are with people. I mean, really, if you get right down to it, I mean, just think how much happier you would be if all the people would just do what you want them to do and just behave the way you want them to behave. Now, you know, we do have other kinds of problems, but there's just a lot of people problems. And so the first thing that I want to tell you is one of the ways that you can just save yourself a lot of misery, a lot of hardship, a lot of heartache, because I can tell you, you will have opportunity to be offended. There's no you might, you will. You will have people that will hurt your feelings. You will have people that will say and do things, and you just might think, what in the world is your problem? Now, believe it or not, and I actually believe what I'm getting ready to tell you, because I've had lots of experience with lots of people, I really don't believe that there's many people, and maybe there's nobody, who gets up in the morning and thinks, I just can't wait to see how many people I can make miserable today. I mean, I just don't think that people do that. And I think that most of the pain that we get from other people are a result of their own pain. You're not all ready to swallow that, huh? Sounds to me, Joyce, like you're getting ready to ask me to feel sorry for him. Well, no. But my father hurt me so bad, and he hurt my mom so bad, and my brother, and thank God, through his grace, I was able to recover and still have a decent life. But my mom never had a decent life. My brother ended up committing suicide, and it just, he just hurt so many people so bad. But you know what? He was a hurting man. He was a miserable, hurting man. And when you're miserable yourself inside, it's going to come out somewhere. And it's going to come out on somebody. Now, that doesn't mean that it's okay for people to do that. It doesn't mean that we just let them abuse us and don't confront them or take up for ourselves. That's really, to be honest, that's not even what forgiveness is. It's just not. But one thing that we are commanded to do in the Bible, it's not a suggestion. Come on, the things that Jesus said are not suggestions. They're commandments. And not all of them are things that will keep us out of heaven if we don't obey them. Because we're saved by grace through faith. But the things that God tells us to do, every single one of them are something for our benefit. Come on now. Every single thing that God tells us to do, he's not trying to make it hard on us. He's not trying to give us impossible things to do. which most people would tell you that one of the hardest things that they ever have to do is forgive somebody who really hurt them really bad. Amen. And we just think it's not fair, and how could God ask us to do that, and on and on and on. But it's really, he's really trying to help us by doing that. And so since we have all these people in the world, and we've already established that they're not all going to be nice to us, and then we see that there's a command that we have to love them. Now, I wish that the Bible said, love the people that are lovable. But it doesn't. We have to somehow learn how to love people that are very difficult to love. So how many of you are in tonight? You want to go on with this? All right. So the first point, and this has helped me and is helping me, because I have even, because of what happened that provoked me to preach this message, that I'm not at liberty to tell you about, and it's not about Dave. I really believe that people don't get up every day just purposely trying to be mean and see how many people they can make miserable. I have decided that I'm actually really going to make an effort to do what Jesus said to do in 1 Corinthians 13:5. And that is, love always and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Okay, I guess I'll have to do that again. Because I can tell when you get it and when you don't. Now see, I can believe, well, you just did that on purpose. Or I can believe, you must be having a bad day. I doubt you even realized how that sounded. I really don't believe you meant to hurt me. Maybe something's going on in your life, and it really has nothing to do with me. Now, here again, I'm not saying that we just let people abuse us, and there's certainly a time to confront people, and I'm all over that. You know, I don't have any problem with confrontation. That is not an issue for me. I could maybe use a little bit of the other side sometimes, but it's amazing how we are relieved from having to waste a day being angry at somebody if we'll just immediately say, Lord, help me believe the best. That's point number one. Help me believe the best. Now, few opening scriptures. Matthew 5, 46 and 47 says, if we only love those who love us back, that's nothing. It says, even the Gentiles do that. They were the unbelievers then. So, you know, it doesn't take the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which we have as believers. We don't need that power to just love people that are nice to us. Good, I got one person over there that likes this. We have to get all the I can't thinking out of our head. It's not I can't love you. If Jesus told me to love you, then I can love you. I may not know how to do it yet, but I have the power, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit to do everything that God has commanded you to do. You can do it. And furthermore, we are here to represent God. That's the whole reason why he left us here. If God didn't have a purpose for us here after we're born again, he would just beam us up and we could miss the whole mess. But we're here because the Bible says that we are God's personal representatives. Now get this, the Amplified says, he is making his appeal to the world through us. So people are supposed to look at us and see how God is. And that's supposed to make them thirsty. We're salt. And it's supposed to pierce the darkness in their life. We are light. And so the Bible says in Matthew that when we love our enemies and those who are mean to us and abusive to us, that we do it to show that we are like our Father in heaven. God will never ask us to forgive somebody else for more than what He's forgiven us for. You say, yeah, but this person just keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again. Well, so what do you think the next time you say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Do you think that they have a little council in heaven? Now, you know, they have done this over and over and over and over again. And I just don't know that I can forgive them one more time. No. Peter said, maybe I can handle seven, up to seven times, Lord. And he gave a figure that's really just a bunch of God's perfect numbers, 7 times 70. So, you know, here we're already at 490. And really, it just simply means however much it takes. Remember, it's actually more for you than it is for your enemy. It is more for you than it is for your enemy. Because here's the thing. I saw this in a movie not too long ago, and it just really struck me. This person had just been so unbelievably mistreated, and they forgave the person that had hurt them, and it was a man who'd been hurt so bad, and so they were married now, and his wife said to him, how can you possibly forgive them? And he said, well, if you forgive, you only have to forgive once, and it's over. But if you hate, you have to do that all day long, every day of your life. So I think there's a few folks here, and maybe a whole bunch that will watch this by television, that you got some stuff that's really hurting you, and you need to get it taken care of. Let God help you get it taken care of. You know, maybe somebody hurt you, they're not in your life anymore, and you don't have to put up with them, so maybe getting over it wouldn't be quite as hard. What if it's somebody that at work, or somebody that you still got to be around, somebody that you got to deal with? Now it gets a whole lot harder. But we have as much of the Holy Spirit as we need to help us do everything that we need to do. Amen? Now, I don't think that anybody is a real Christian. They might have a bumper sticker on their car or a fish or wear a cross around their neck or go to church every Sunday. But I don't know that I personally, with the experience I've had with God all these years, I don't know that I can say that I believe that a person is a real Christian if they're not at some point in time in their spiritual growth going to get around to realizing the importance of loving other people. Because it is all over the Bible. You say, well, yeah, but my salvation is not based on me loving other people. Well, no, it's not. It's definitely not. But there's a scripture in 1 John 4, 7 and 8 that we either need to pay attention to or I don't know, you know. Listen to this. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is, and it springs from God. And he who loves his fellow man is begotten and born of God. So he who loves his fellow man is born of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and a clearer knowledge of him. Now, verse 8. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. So now I can go to church and I can have a knowledge, I can believe Jesus died on the cross for me, but to know God. And you know, the Apostle Paul prayed, and this is a man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he said, my determined purpose is to know him. To know God, to know his character, to hang out with God, to do life with God, to have an intimacy and a friendship with God. That's what we need. That's what we want. Not just to go to church and go home and be the same and never change. But it's that relationship with God that Jesus died for us to have. And in order to have that, once we're born again, once we believe in Jesus and we receive him, then the rest of our life should be spent on spiritual maturity and becoming more and more and more and more and more deeply and intimately acquainted with God. I want to know God and be like him. Amen. And so he says, if you don't know love, then you don't know me, because I am love. So I think we can say the more we learn how to love, the more we're going to learn about God. And I want closeness with God. I want an intimacy with God. And we know that the Bible says that if you won't forgive those who have hurt you, then neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Now that's kind of scary. I wonder how many people there are running around. They're pretty sure their sins have been forgiven, but they're mad at half of the world. And I think if we harbor bad feelings towards somebody else, whether it's for an hour or a day or 25 years, what we're doing is we're putting something between us and God. No wonder he says, a new commandment I give unto you. This sums up all the law and all the prophets. You focus on this one, you do this one, and you're going to keep all the others. Love one another just as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Let's major in love. I got all stirred up about this many years ago, and I thought, we need a revolution of love. So I've got access to a lot of people. I'm getting full of myself. I'm thinking, I'm going to start a revolution of love. I wrote a book, and we had a plan, and we had a program, and it was the worst-selling book I have ever written in my whole life. It was pitiful. And I thought, what? But you know what? Here's the bottom line. The book didn't sell that well because it's not a subject that people are that interested in. Now, you put out a book on 10 steps to success. But what kind of success do we want to be? Do we want to be an earthly success, or do we want to be a success spiritually? Do we want to be well known in the earth or well known in heaven? Amen. So yes, the book is still available, and we probably don't even have any with us, but I dare you to get online and get it. Anyway. Now, here's a great scripture. If you think that you cannot love people, and I just cannot love them the way they are. I mean, I just can't. God, you got to change them if you want me to love them. One more scripture that I'm going to point to. Romans 5:8. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How many of you are glad that it doesn't say, once we got ourselves all cleaned up? Oh my gosh. The thing that is so inviting about Jesus is I can stand here tonight and tell people, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you've done, no matter how deep of a pit you're in, God will take you just the way you are. He loves you just the way you are. Now, he doesn't want us to stay that way. God loves us too much to let us stay that way. And we need to change. And yes, there are people in our lives that need to change. But sadly, many of them are never going to. If all we do is build walls and shut them out and stay angry at them and get bitter and resentful. You know, we talk about sacrifice. And some of us just need to sacrifice a little bit of our personal comfort, maybe, just to be around somebody that maybe is not all that easy to be around with. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can get pretty addicted to my creature comforts. Okay, so now I got a question to put out to you. Because God's asking me this, so I'll just share with you. Are the people that you're having a hard time loving, are they really that bad? Or are you just maybe a little too picky? For example, I don't do slow very well. I can do more things in 1 hour than most people could do in a week. I think fast, I make fast decisions, I move fast, so I just don't do slow people real well. So, never mind, they're, usually not a lot nicer than me. But anyway, the point is, I'm just giving you that as an example, I can get impatient. And it's not, I got some self-control now. I don't just rail all over everybody, but inside I'm like, how many in the building have at least learned to keep it inside? But see, I'm wanting to get to the point where it's not there. I don't want to have to swallow it down. I just don't want it to be there. And yes, we're growing, we're changing, and we go from glory to glory, and thank God we're not what we used to be, and I'm happy for the growth, but so really I have to ask myself, well, is there something wrong with them because they're moving slower? Come on now. Or is there something wrong with me that I'm moving a little too fast? Now, I know another somebody. This is not me, but another somebody. And they don't do well with trying to teach people things. Well, you saw me do it. Why didn't you get it? Well, I told you once. How many times I got to tell you? Well, I told you what to do, and you still did it wrong. And so this person is just not a very good teacher. Because, now here it comes, they expect everybody to learn as fast as they do. But everybody don't. And the thing we got to realize is if you have a quick brain, it's because God gave it to you. It's not because you're better than or smarter than or above. You got it as a gift from God, and he gave it to you for a purpose, but the purpose was not to look down on other people who aren't like you.
Some people just push your buttons, and no matter how hard you try to love them, they take you from zero to on edge in no time flat. So how do you see the good in people when it's really hard to find? Today, we're offering Joyce's new book, Loving People Who Are Hard to Love, for your donation of any amount. Loving that difficult person may not change the world, but it could change yours and theirs. loving people who are hard to love. Contact us now at joycemeyer.org or call toll free 1-800-727-9673.
So, you've never been to a Love Life Women's Conference?
What?
Well, this is the one. This is the 40th anniversary celebration, and it is going to be big. And we're back in St. Louis, where Joyce began it all. Register now at joycemeyer.org.
I still felt like God wanted to use me. I mean, I still felt like I still had this dream. I was still studying. We were still struggling financially. I was confused, all the things that that people go through. And so they asked me if I wanted to start a women's Bible study at this church. And I really didn't want to start a women's Bible study because I specifically felt like that God had given me a scripture in Philippians 2 that I was to hold out to all men the Word of God. So I never really felt called just to teach women. I really felt like that the same Word was for everybody and that I was going to teach everybody, not just women. And so at first I wasn't going to do the Bible study, and then I remember thinking, well, God's not opening up anything else and this is opened up, so I probably should take the opportunity. And they advertised it a little bit, and I mean, this was just a miracle from God. The first one that we had was on a Thursday morning at what Dave calls a little church in the valley, which it was just a little tiny
church.
And 115 people came, and it was like, where did all these people come from? And it was the start of something pretty major, and it was just God.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.